starting a new series today called Mind Battles. Anybody have any battles in your mind at times? Amen. For the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to talk about mind battles. And today's topic in mind battles is who has your allegiance? Who has your allegiance? And we're going to be reading from scripture texts such as John 8 and Mark 5. But I want to give you a quick message in a sentence that will help you as we move forward in today's thought. Remember this, as a believer, it's important to know that you can't cast out your flesh and you can't disciple a demon. Let me say that one more time. You should know as a believer that you can't cast your flesh out and you cannot disciple a demon. Amen. That silence is important because you're supposed to cast demons out and disciple us. So, in John 8:36, this is what Jesus has to say about mind battles as we move into this thought. So, if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Our freedom depends on Him setting us free. And God chose through one glory to the next. That means one experiential revelation to the next experiential relationship or revelation that you are changed. Your mind is changed. So what makes this series key to your fulfillment and happiness? I'm going to point these out. Three things I want you to be aware of as we move into this series that are very key if you're going to be fulfilled as the believer and as the child of God that you are. The first reason this series is important to you, amen, is free. It helps you become free to be who God says you are. It helps you to become free to be who God says you are. You're a powerful person. And He says, if you can believe, you can be sons of God. That's what Jesus, anybody want to be a child of God? If we believe what? The truth that makes us free. We can be sons of God. We can really step into our true identity. But if I can't believe, if I refuse to believe, I can't be who I'm designed to be. So this series is very important to you because the enemy is working overtime to manipulate and twist truth so that you don't believe the truth that makes you free. The enemy's okay with you being religious-minded, just so long you're not Christ-minded. Is this okay? The second reason this series is important to you and me is because Satan doesn't want to get caught. If he's the thief, if he gets caught, he has to return everything sevenfold. Very important for you to know that if you realize that, man, you know, the blessings of God are not really in my life like they should be, and I believe in Jesus, well, then we need to find out where the thief is. Anybody say amen? Because when you find out where he's at, and he's in stinking thinking, is that okay? We can identify where he's at in our mind. He has to return to you sevenfold. That's in the book called the Bible, by the way. The third reason, amen, that we need to understand why this message or this series is important to us is that many believers are in bondage, and they don't believe that believers can be in bondage. Hello? Amen. Jesus is talking to the Jewish people that believe in him in John chapter 8. And he's letting them know, I want to make you free. So the big question today as we move into this thought is, can a believer be in bondage? Does anybody want to see what Jesus has to say about that? Would you like to hear what he has to say about that? Amen? And so when I use terms like possession, Don't let your definition of possession lead you the wrong direction. Amen. We're not talking about ownership here. We're talking about how the enemy can manipulate us to make bad decisions. That means he, amen, not only can oppress you, but he can shift your way of thinking that you will make a decision he wants you to make. That means you're being controlled. Amen. Mastered. Amen. And so in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, let's read this story. Several verses here. They came to the other side of the sea, the country of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus is a subject in this matter, had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man which with unclean spirit, or with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him. The shackles had been broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus, this man that was possessed by the Spirit, saw Jesus, notice what he does. He ran and worshiped him. He bowed to Jesus. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, now this is the demons that's talking out of him. What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. And since Jesus doesn't torment people, we know that this is the demon that's talking out of him. Everybody get that? Jesus is addressing the demon that's speaking at him. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? Jesus is not talking to the man. He's talking to that spirit that's speaking out of him. And he answered, saying, my name is Legion. Now, if anybody knows any history about the Roman soldiers, a legion was 6,826 Roman soldiers. So that man was filled with lots of demons. For this demon said, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Did you know that demons like to stay where they have a stronghold? They don't like leaving where they have the greater influence. Jesus, amen, wants to do great works through you and I, but we've got to be in our right mind so that he can be Lord of his house, and from his house he can speak from us with authority and with power. Why? To bring strongholds down, to make the enemy the walking material, amen, that he's designed to be. In verse 11, now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains, so all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. We got to leave this body. We need a body to enter in. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000 swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and drowned it in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And notice this, they were afraid. Why are they so fearful here? And those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed. Is anybody getting this? Demons exist, don't they? And about the swine. And they began to plead with Jesus to depart from the region. Why are they wanting Jesus to leave? And when he had got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might come with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them the what great things the Lord hath done for you. You got some good news. Now bear that good news and go tell your family and friends. And how he has compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis. Decapolis was the 10 surrounding cities in that region. God gave him the commission and the stewardship of 10 cities after he delivered him. Did y'all get that? I want you to, what was his stewardship including? Go tell the good news of how good I've been to you and how I've had compassion on you. Our world needs some compassion, don't they? How many believers today would actually embrace the way Jesus ministered during his ministry? That go to church today. What would they say about Jesus after he got through delivering that man of all those demons in our religious world? Could it be that we've read about Jesus and his influence 2,000 years ago and how ultra significant it was and the influence he had with all the peoples, but maybe we are not willing to go there and have that kind of influence in our city because we may not believe that the enemy exists like they believed he did then. So let's take a look at three significant realities in this story today that Jesus leaves us with. Are y'all ready? First reality that Jesus leaves us, if we'll hold to him being the truth, this is an important point, there really are demons. There really are. They're just not in America. They're in other countries. And you'll be surprised how many professed believers believe that. Once you get to the borderlines of America, they can't cross. For the sake of professed believers and those that say Jesus is Lord, and in case you haven't yet read the New Testament yet or the Bible, the word demon in the Bible is used 82 times. 62 times demon is used in the Gospels during the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus talked about demons in ways that many churchgoers aren't interested in talking about demons today. Right now, some of you probably are uncomfortable because Pastor Lowe is addressing this issue that is real in our world. Maybe Jesus talked about demons because no one had ever had authority over demons until he came. You reckon? Maybe that's why. For every fallen angel, remember this, that is against you, there are two angels in heaven that is for you. In case you haven't read the Bible yet. Demons are only as powerful as you will let them be. The only way that they can have power is you must give it to them. And of all of God's creation, humanity is the source by which demons go after so that they can be empowered to do what they do. Amen. They're not going after the animal kingdom. They're not going after, amen, the birds and the fish. Amen. They're coming after humanity because humanity has what they want. So where do demons come from? Prior to Lucifer's rebellion and his fall, he influences one-third of the angels of heaven to follow him. Now, I just want to encourage you right now, if he's that powerful that he can influence an angel that's around the throne of God to follow him, he can convince you to follow him. He is a master trickster. He is a manipulator. He is a liar. And he knows how to take sentences and phrases and theories and philosophies and know how to move them into your spirit and cause you to reject Jesus when you don't even know you're rejecting him. And you go to church. Is this okay? Demons are disembodied spirits. They're looking for bodies to inhabit. In Mark 5, demons were in this man's body. They were not in his soul or his spirit. They were in his body. Amen? This is why Jesus allows them to go into the swine. They wanted a body. Now hear me. This is very powerful. Humans will put up with what pigs want. Hello? When the pigs saw those demons coming, they started running. Amen. We're called to, when we see a devil, to stomp on him and keep walking with truth. That's why it's so imperative that you catch the vision of Jesus Christ in our world. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. That has got to resonate in your spirit. Jesus is asking the question today, he or she that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It's the Spirit of Christ inside of us that gives us dominion and authority over every demon spirit in the earth. We have need of a fresh word from heaven. You don't want to trust Dwayne Lowe. You want to trust Jesus. I encourage you to hear what I just said. If you're not hearing it, you're in trouble, regardless if I hear it or not. I can hear God talk. He talks to me, but you don't know that. All you know is whether you can hear or not. And if you're hearing, all of a sudden, then you'll know that I'm hearing. Because when I open my mouth, if I'm hearing what you're hearing, I'm going to confirm what you're hearing, and we're going to know that we're worshiping Jesus together, and the enemy is in trouble. The guy with the mic is not the one in control. Jesus is sitting on his throne, and he should be in your heart and in my heart, ruling in his temple. I got it. So there really are demons. Otherwise, you would have to do away with much of the Bible, and especially Jesus' ministry. Is that okay? Anybody want to pick up where Jesus left off in his ministry? You're going to deal with demons. Preacher, can't you give us another word instead of demons? Can't you just domesticate it and give it a medical name? A prescription name? Can you just cover it over so we don't feel so bad about the term? Demon's not a good word. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why you got to be so blunt? Why can't you water it down a little bit and comfort us so we don't feel so bad about the fact that they're around? No. I want you to get so on fire. I want it to become like fire shut up in your bones, that you get a holy indignation against the acts of the enemy, and you declare Jesus Christ and him crucified, and show some compassion on the community and the home that you're accountable and responsible to. It's time to be sons of God. If you can believe, you can be sons of God. There are theological institutions that are actually teaching that demons are not real. Theological institutions. They say demons are only a figment of your imagination. And they conclude in these seminaries that Jesus actually pretended to cast demons out because society believes so much in them. Man, what a whack. Boy, the enemy can do anything. He can get into a theological seminary and convince them with all this twisted thinking. Satan wants you to doubt the existence of demons because that will mean that we believe Jesus was not a deceiver. Or rather, he was a deceiver, manipulating us, amen, to be his followers. The enemy is a trickster. And so what does Jesus actually teach us about demons? Matthew 8:16. This is what Jesus had to teach about demons. You ready? Because sometimes I have met those that haven't read the scriptures yet. So with that being said, Matthew 8:16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. Not a few, but many. Who brought them? The community. I'm just going to encourage you, get ready. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, people around you will start bringing people that need help. And you're going to know immediately when you meet these people that they're bringing to you to help them that there's demons involved. And they need a fresh word from heaven and the truth to make them free. And notice what Jesus did. He cast out the spirits with a word. Not a Bible study. Let me tell you something. We're given some scriptures today, and there's a thought being given. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a fresh word from heaven, amen, that you don't have to spend time giving the devil a Bible study or a person necessarily. If you're in the Spirit, whatever word the Spirit gives you, that demon has to be obedient to it. With a word, he cast them out and healed all who were sick. Matthew 9:32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, they have never seen it like this in Israel. You know, their medical term for this man's condition was mute. And they called him a mute. They didn't even know he was demon-possessed. But when Jesus cast the demon out of him, he spake again. Wow. Matthew 17:18. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. I'm just holding for a minute so we can get this, that medical conditions and demons are tied together. What are you trying to say, preacher? Am I got a demon right now because I got this? What are you hearing the Spirit say? What's the Lord saying to you? Be careful, Pastor. No, I love you. Amen. Let me tell you something. God's not a respecter of person. If he'll heal me, he'll heal you. And if he'll heal you, he'll heal me. Amen. God loves me. He loves you. Amen. It's not okay for him, amen, for one person to be healed and set free and you just sit there being in bondage. God's not okay with that. Amen. That lying spirit wants us to accept some of the conditions we have in our life and just cover it over. Pastor, be careful. Mark 3:14. When he had appointed 12, they might be with him, and they might send them out, that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and cast out demons. Mark 6:12. So they went out and preached that people should repent. Okay, here's your mind battles. What are we repenting from? Stinking thinking. Amen. Change the way you think. Guess what will happen? You'll live differently. Mind battles. That's what we're talking about. Preach the gospel. Preach to them, repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Who wants to be numbered among the believers? Jesus said it this way in Mark 16:17. Are y'all ready? I've said all this to get to this point. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. This will follow anyone and everyone who believes. Is that what that says to you? C.S. Lewis said this, amen, that there's two groups of people that Satan loves and gets excited over. Number one, the skeptic, who says that demons does not exist, neither existed or just existed during Jesus' ministry. One of those, the skeptic. And then there's the other group, the superstitious, where they see a demon in every alley. C.S. concluded that Satan loves both groups because they are both in deception and they empower the devil's purpose. Wow. Many, if not most, Christians today prefer not to consider what Jesus had to say about demons. They would rather give the demon a medical name and a prescribed drug. And so it is. Remember this. Christians, amen, are not skeptics. Christians are not superstitious. Christians are born-again believers that are children of God, called sons of God. And they carry the good news of Jesus Christ. It's that good news when you tell somebody, not bad news. I don't have to tell you that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You already know that. That's not really good news for you. You don't need me to pick on you because you've got this issue in your life or this demon in your life. What you need from me today is to let me know and let you know that there's good news. Jesus saves, and he went up to the cross for you, that you might have life and that life more abundantly. And in case you don't know, the enemy don't want you to know that. The enemy wants you to think that you, because you failed in your life and your, amen, your past is real, it'll hold you captive, that God can't use you. But you got up another day because of the mercies of God being made fresh every morning. Amen. Every morning. So don't forget this. You can't cast out the flesh, and you can't disciple a demon. It ain't happening. So what do we need? Do we need discipleship or deliverance? Yes. We need discipleship and deliverance. Amen. As a believer and a young minister, I came to realize that the enemy had influenced my own life. I didn't realize it until God revealed it to me. As a believer, Spirit-filled, baptized in his name, God began to show me where things in my life that I experienced, how that was an open door, and the thief was still playing. He just hadn't got me clean of it yet. I know he filled my heart. He gave me joy unspeakable, full of glory. I was excited. I was on fire. But yet there were some flesh issues there that the enemy was still attached to and trying to work his way back into my life. And as I rehearsed my life, I began to see how the enemy came and how I needed to shut some doors, close some windows to get that, to put him in handcuffs and get him out. I needed leadership in my life. I needed, amen, ministry in my life that would equip me and establish me as a disciple so that I could be, amen, an encouragement to others that needed deliverance. The demons, they're not going to stop trying to hide behind thoughts that we have adopted as God thoughts. They're going to continue to plunder, amen, and try to control you. And you can go to church and feel the presence of God and them still be there. Reason we're talking about this subject is because, amen, many of us even here today need hope, and we need to know too that we can be free. We're tired of dealing with the same thing over and over and over. Just attending a church fellowship doesn't work. Going to church on Sunday doesn't work. Being the church Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that'll work. Amen. That's when you're walking in the Spirit. And so the only people that don't experience freedom in our world today are those who will not admit they're in bondage. Jesus came to set humanity free from all demonic influence. And so we find out immediately there that there really are demons, don't we? Here's the second point quickly. They really do enter people. John 10:1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. What's he talking about? The devil. He's letting them know that the thief can get into the sheepfold. Did y'all hear that? Jesus says of you and me as a follower, we're the sheep of his pasture. And the enemy knows that the only way he can build up his kingdom is to try to get in deceptively to the sheepfold so that he can draw from our empowerment to build his kingdom. So he's letting them know he can't get in through me, he's saying, but he can choose another way, and it might be you. Is that okay? John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the thief is actively focused on three things: stealing, killing, and destroying. That's why marriage, divorce among marriages in the church is up to half of the, or 50% of people that are married in the church are divorced because of this one issue here. He come to take away healthy relationships. Who? The devil. So can a Christian be demon-possessed? I'm talking about ownership here right now, right? The actual Greek translation for the word demon-possessed means to gain mastery over, control over, to have power over. This is the same word that Jesus uses to his audience in Luke 21:19. By your patience, possess your souls. What's he saying to you and me? Amen. Have mastery over your soul. Your soul is the problem here. Amen. He's not telling you to own your soul if he's trying to get you to give it up to him. So the moment you decide to give your soul to God, he said, I'll give you life now. So have mastery over your flesh. Amen. Your soulish part. We're supposed to glorify God in our bodies, aren't we? Isn't that interesting? Everybody agree with that? Satan wants to control our body. For you that haven't read Scripture yet, 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought with a price. It says here right now, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to him. So can a Christian be owned by the devil? No. But he can bring you under his control through mind battles. He's going to battle with you for your mind. And if he can get you to agree with him, even while you're quoting the scripture, if he can twist that scripture and give you a private interpretation of it, he can master you. Hello? Ask yourself these questions. Is there an area of your life that you just can't seem to get the victory over? That you feel helpless? You feel powerless at times? Is there a sin that you've been involved in that you've been confessing over and over, but you just can't get over it? Wake up. You're in bondage. You're being mastered. Is this okay? Most Christians are saying, oh, no, Pastor, I've just got a weakness in that area. It's just my weak area. You've had it for years. It's not a weakness. It's a demon. Pastor, why did you go there? Because the Lord's begging for your attention. He's hurting for your relationship and fellowship. He's after your heart. He loves you. And he's not okay with you being manipulated with a lying spirit that justifies your issue as a weakness. Shut the door. Give God lordship in your life. He will make you powerful, more than conquerors in Christ who strengthens you. Good news is Jesus wants to set you free. Amen. He wants you to experience him. Amen. But you can't do that if you don't acknowledge that you're being mastered by the enemy. Let's just say that you go to church today and you left a window open in your house. And you did what that you meant to, but you left it open and you went to church, and when you get home, you find that there's a thief in your house. Does that thief own your house? No. But guess what? He's in your house. What's he there for? To steal, kill, and destroy. He don't want you to know he's there, because the longer he can stay there, the more he can steal from you, the more he can kill in your life, the more he can destroy so that he can do his purpose. But he has come to control what he can't own. He can never own you. God already owns you. He bought you with his blood. You're owned by Jesus Christ. The question is, why does the devil have control? He wants to control you until you catch him, arrest him, and put handcuffs on him, and then cast him out. And the best way to cast the enemy out is come with compassion to those you love. Amen. And let the Spirit set the climate. Let the Spirit set the atmosphere. Let the Spirit have his way, so that in love you can speak the truth. You can let them know how special they are. You can give them the kind of good news that the enemy just starts, don't tell them that no more. And then all of a sudden you'll find out, and they'll find out, I didn't know that was in me. If you're squirming a little bit right now, you might want to consider, there might be something else there that you didn't know was there, because God loves you. Amen? So let's look at what demons intend for your life. Lamentations 1 and 10. This is what demons intend for you. Amen? The adversary has spread his hand over all her pleasant things. That's speaking of church typology right there. He's speaking of the church, the bride of Christ. For she, the church, has seen the nations enter her sanctuary, those whom you commanded not to enter your assembly. Where's the adversary at in this passage? In the house of God. Who are you? The house of God. Where's the enemy want to stay? In the house of God. Lamentations 4:12. The kings of the earth and all the habitation of the world would not have believed that the adversary, the enemy, could enter the gates of Jerusalem. We're not talking about earthly Jerusalem. We're talking about heavenly Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. Joel 2 and 9, they run to and fro in the city. They run on the walls. They climb into the houses. They enter into the window like a thief. Next week, we're going to talk about how to close these windows and shut these doors so that the enemy can't get in. Let's just say for a moment, for example's sake, that a Christian man has experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He allows substance into his body, like alcohol or overdoses of drugs, to the point of coming under the influence of those substances. Does these substances own this man? No. However, they are in him and they do control him. Are we getting this? So how do you know that the substance controlled him? He does things out of character that's not like him that causes him to be ashamed afterwards. Have you ever done something you were ashamed of afterwards? I'm just pausing here because it's either the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of a man who is a Christian begins to look at pornography, he opens the door to the enemy. Guess what follows? Shame follows right afterwards. If by chance this is bothering you right now, you might be interested in this next point. And I close with this point right here. Jesus really does cast demons out. He really does. And he's in love with you so much so that he wants you to know once he casts them out, he wants you to walk on them with him. He wants you to tread on them. Jesus sent 70 of his followers out in Luke 10:17. Notice here. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. They coming back saying, boy, we got power over the devil. And he said, let me tell you a story. I seen that cat come down like lightning. He said, I want you to look at him this way. He's walking with here. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. He's talking about demons. And over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But notice what he says in verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in the fact that you have authority over a demon, but rather rejoice because your name are written in heaven. Don't gloat in the fact that demons are expected and commanded by God to obey and submit to you. Don't gloat in that, but be thankful that your Father has written your name down. Amen. And notice what Jesus goes on to say. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things. He's speaking about authority over demons from the wise, the prudent, the scholar, the degreed person, and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. What Jesus is saying here, he's saying that I know that there are you that think that you're smart and you don't believe that there's any demons because you got a degree and you've been acknowledged as being somebody special and high in authority. He said, but let me tell you, young baby believers know. I don't know where you are as this world is concerned in status, but I assure you, if you're the next governor of Texas or the next president of the United States, you need to be aware of this. Demons exist. They do enter people, but Jesus wants to set you free. There are a multitude of professed believers that haven't yet read or heard the Gospels. How do we know this? Because they don't believe demons exist. Amen. And they don't believe that Jesus casted them out and that he dealt with them accordingly. Now I know today after considering this thought why my grandmother was so spiritually influential and powerful. She wasn't okay with any of these spirits touching her children and her grandbabies. And she stood in the gap. She made up the hedge. She repaired them. These are all Christianese terms. She made a difference. She shut the windows. She closed the doors. And she says, you can't come in my house. My children are going to have an opportunity to serve the Lord. Amen. And be in fellowship with him. Don't feel bad today because the potential problem in your life right now. Amen. And you're sensing this spiritual magistry or mastery of the enemy at work in your life. You're getting close to getting him out. It's time to turn the lights on. It's time to let him know and serve him notice that he can't stay there no longer. Your marriage is going to be healthier. Your body is going to be healed. Amen. You're going to be who God called you to be. You're not going to be held captive with this spirit holding you down. We don't have a problem in believing God has the power. However, though, what the enemy does in focus, he focuses on our weaknesses. He focuses on your history instead of you being powerful. He don't want you to know how powerful you are. He wants you to know you are attached to this lie that I caused you to believe, and you're the one that's guilty. But I'm going to say this as I bring this down here. Jesus said to the religious group, he said, they said, we are of our father Abraham. And Jesus, man, I'm just going to tell you, I don't know if America can handle Jesus' ministry. Because Jesus looked at him and said, we are of our father Abraham. He said, no, your father's the devil. It needs to resonate. He said, and his deeds you do. He said, if your father was Abraham, you'd know who I am. Let me encourage you. Important for everybody here today that everything that's in your past that the enemy's convinced you you're guilty of, he just lied to you. That's the number one lie today you need to get cleared up, and the truth shall make you free. Every failure, every sin in your life that you've been a part of belongs to him, don't belong to you. Let me tell you why, and I'm not going to stop saying this till we finally resonate at New Life Fellowship. If God is the only one can take credit for what is good, and you can't stand before God and say, I was a good person, I deserve to enter in, you can't stand there. No, the only way you're going to make it, amen, to eternal bliss is because of what he did on the cross, because he was good, not you. He was good. Look what the Lord has done. So all the things that equal good that the enemy wants to convince you to take credit for, that's why you got to stop eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't see yourself as being good. See God as being good. And if you can get the revelation that God is good, amen, and that God gets the glory for everything that's good, then you can turn to your past and say, all right, devil, all that stuff that you said belonged to me don't belong to me anymore, and the truth will make you free. And what I like about this is we stand. In Mark 5, this is what's so powerful. This man was demonized by as many as 6,826 demons. He lived in a cemetery, and he was wild. And when Jesus shows up, the demons that were controlling him and mastering him couldn't stop him from running to Jesus and bowing. And I want to make it very clear to you right now. The challenges you face in your life and the lies that the enemy's told you and the demons that you may have shut the window and you're finding out or maybe in your house, if they couldn't stop him, a legion of them couldn't stop him, well, then the devil can't stop you. We can run to Jesus and bow. We can worship because the enemy can't stop it. He owns us. His blood purchased us. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm asking you right now, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you about this message? What has the Lord put in your spirit that's given you hope today, that he's compassionate toward you, that your marriage can be healed, your relationships can be put back together, your body can be healed? She's saying to you right now, summer vacation's upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Be mindful. Here we are. We may just put Jesus off till the school year starts. I encourage you, don't put him off. This is the day the Lord hath made. For you that are tired of the enemy using your weakness to hold you, allowing jealousy, offense, lust, depression, guilt, you're tired of those things holding you captive, come up here right now. No matter what it is, come forward today. And I want to make this very clear. Did y'all know I need Jesus just like you do? That the pastor needs a revelation from heaven every day? That he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be? that I've said things in the past as a pastor I shouldn't have said. I've reacted when I should have responded. I've made mistakes. I've offended. I've hurt people that God loves. What do I do with that? I take it to my war room. I take it to my relationship. I take it to my table of those I have confidence in. I bring it here where you are at, and I say, Lord, help me. I don't want the enemy to have no place in my life any longer.